Tell us what you guys are doing and how it started and
Yeah,
start
sure.
there.
So I had a good friend of mine. He was going to the seed swap up in Santa Rosa, which is one of the biggest ones in the state.
You're talking about the Heirloom Food Festival?
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
it's the Heirloom Food Festival.
we went there. We covered that a lot, actually.
Yeah. So before he headed up, when he was prepping, he mentioned to me like, "Hey, we should do this in San Diego. You know, we need to get the garden movement rolling and keep that energy flowing." So we set a date as you know, spring equinox. You know, we it's the perfect day for getting our seeds in the ground and getting our intention shifted out of winter, get back outside, and you know, start connecting with the earth and the soil. So you know, when he got back, he was super excited and wanted to, you know, we pursued the project. So you know, here we are just a few months later, and you know, we've connected with a lot of the different community organizations throughout San Diego that are, you know, agriculturally driven, and you know, we got a lot of support from that community. So you know, we've you know, in just a short period of time, come a long ways, you know, in getting this rolling. So
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. I'm so glad to see that energy back in my hometown, where we kind of started it a few years ago with teaching locals about where their food came from. And that was kind of demonstrated throughout the world. You know, we've seen people awaken to this notion of eating healthy might equal feeling well. What a concept.
Sure. And then when you get your hands in the soil, you actually are connecting with that earth, and you're grounding yourself, and you know, it opens up you know, a whole different awareness of one's being. So yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Like once you realize that you're just not like a fragment wandering upon the earth, but made of it, and you
Right.
live in it, not just on
Absolutely.
it. It is a really beautiful thing. It's like a the culture though. It's like a quote unquote religion, you know. And a lot of people
Sure.
don't want to hear it,
Sure.
but when they experience like when you go to a food festival like the Heirloom Food Festival, I want to talk about the energy there because everyone kind of gathered.
Yeah.
And they were all like, ah, what is this? You know,
Sure.
it's like adult playground. It was so fun.
Sure.
And I was wondering the most, like, what's going to grow from this gathering of people? And it's so beautiful to see it literally growing here.
Right.
Like, you guys are planning so many different things. So tell us about what's going to go on, like,
Yeah,
that day exactly.
totally. So we have workshops coordinated, live, you know, get your hands in the ground workshops. So let's see, we're there. We got a honeybee workshop. We've got a fruit tree pruning workshop, living soils and compost. We're talking about permaculture and wicking beds. We're having a demonstration on how to cook Nopales, Opuntia cactus.
That's like one of the only indigenous foods here. Did you know
Yeah,
that?
native grown.
It
You know, we have the
is.
endangered cactus wren that utilizes it, as you know, it's an endangered species that, you know, only lives in the Nopales cactus. So
Yeah, are you talking about the little beetle?
it's a wren, a bird.
Oh, the
Yeah,
bird.
it's a bird,
Okay.
cactus wren. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like you said, it's, you know, you know, it's become a philosophy of how to like engage with our environment around, you know, food and animals and medicine. So that's what we're trying to really emphasize, is how to reconnect with that movement. And in San Diego, most people don't know that San Diego is the most productive per acre agriculture in the state.
I knew
You
that.
know, that's
Yeah,
huge. That's
it's amazing.
huge.
Like, we're so lucky to live here. We
Absolutely.
really are.
Yeah, we're one of the 25 biodiverse hotspots in the world. We have over you know, 2,000 represented native species, that out of the, like, I want to say 2,200 different families of plants, we have you know, nearly all of them represented natively here. You know, it's huge. So you know, we're reaching out to the Native Plant Society. There's Dave is going to come out and do a talk.
So
So we have a
awesome.
few lectures that we're
Matt
going to have.
Powers, you
Matt
mentioned
Powers, yep.
permaculture. Like, I just enrolled. Yay, I'm a student on permaculture online. Yay!
Yay!
I'm still on like the first one, the first video. Matt, you're awesome. He came to
Cool.
my house last week.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
Yeah.
you guys have no flipping idea. Like, if you come just to talk to Matt Powers,
Right.
totally worth it.
Right.
Not to discredit
No,
anything you're all
it's
doing. I'm
so
just saying
powerful.
there's so many elements that I'm just like, I'm gonna jump out of my seat.
Yeah.
Because it's super exciting. Like,
Yeah, absolutely.
it's amazing. So he teaches like your philosophy as well, living with the earth,
Yeah.
growing food forests,
Right.
and and it doesn't take a whole lot of work, because that's a misconception. People, oh, I don't have time to garden.
Sure.
But if you give the earth what it needs, it's just gonna do it.
Right, it's a foundation, so it starts with the soil. So, compost. We have a Tony Kosowski is coming out for. He's represents. It's an urban farm. Let's see, a St. Vincent de Paul urban farm. Yeah, he. So, and he's talking about living soils, and that's a huge one. Is like once you have your soil alive and active, the biological activity will inherently help support life. And a lot of people think they can just go stick a plant in the ground. A native plant, yeah, something from here, it's already prepared for that. But
True.
a different, food, a lot of our food crops require some type of amendment or supplementation. And so
That's yeah, I want to interject for just a second. It's really important because we talk a lot about conventional agriculture. And the thing that is the most important to understand about it is, like, yes, we're growing a lot of food, but it's false food in the sense that it looks like food, but it's nutrition
Deficient, right.
deficient because it hasn't gotten what it needs actually from the soil, because they're just they're prodding or they're planting fields and fields of the same thing over and over and over and over, and they're never swapping, or
Sure.
they're no what do you call it, companion plants,
Right.
and we're not composting.
Right. They're not, they're having to bring organic matter in from externally to bring that nutritional level back to a place of where it'll actually grow
Actually
plants
grow
again.
food, but
Yeah.
it's not
And
as
it's,
it should
right. Yeah,
be.
if it was living in a biologically diverse area with a diversity of other trees and plants, which would naturally shed their leaves and would create that organic matter, the roots in the trees will help facilitate biological activity. Mycorrhiza, rhizomes will be present and will facilitate ants being able to help
Ants are
facilitate,
awesome.
and cultivate that pore space that we need, which will enhance the water holding capacity of the
Right.
soil.
That makes
So
sense.
that's the whole
It's
permaculture
like
philosophy.
there's more density because it's not as compact. And worms do the same
Absolutely.
thing. The worms come
Absolutely.
up, they eat the things like the leaves and such that fall, and they take it back down, and they are turning your soil for you.
Exactly.
Like, my favorite thing to do when the weather's like this, like it's raining right now, is I go out and I'm like, time to find all the worms, and I rescue them and I
Right.
throw them all in my garden.
Yeah.
I probably have more worms than dirt sometimes.
Yeah.
But then it turns into more dirt. It's such
Yeah.
a beautiful thing. Like, you feed the worms, it's so cool. I feed my worms, I throw some food out there, and then the food disappears, and then I have soil. I'm like, that's magic.
Yeah.
It's
The
that's
natural
magic.
cycle, that's real life, and that's like what you're saying is, when we take ourselves away from the traditional form of cultivation, which is really, food forests, right? And then, wild harvesting, right? Is like we used to be foragers, and
It's
we'll, you know, we
amazing.
switched to agriculture, and we started to expand our civilizations, and so that, that whole, practice of cultivating our own food had to shift, raising animals so we, didn't have to work so much to try and harvest. It's challenging when we and now in such a fast-paced society, we are, we can go out the street and there's 10 different things we can purchase, but where do they come from? Where do they source from? So that ability to connect our community back to where its food is sourced from is so critical to us, not only as a health, for our own health, but as a society, as our culture. It's important for us to be able to connect to each other and understand like how to relate and how to relate to the earth and the animals and the biodiversity.
It's really important. I like to be objective. I'm reading a book right now called The Naked Ape. I highly recommend it. It's like a 40 or 50-year-old book. Basically, a zoologist objectively, there's that word again, observes Homo sapiens as a zoo animal.
Sure.
And it's very interesting. Like, you're talking about our evolution with food. We went from sitting in trees and just, mostly
Right.
eating, just reaching our arm out,
Right.
grabbing food, and then we would travel as a group to the next spot.
Right.
So
Safety.
we exactly, but then we became like a wolf. We became that same animal, but with the instincts of a wolf to hunt. You know what I
Sure.
mean? So we're changing and evolving, and I think it's really amazing to be alive and witness people go, this isn't working.
Sure.
Like, how do we deal? Well, we grow food everywhere. It's so simple, but it's hard for us to kind of undo, unlearn. Matt Powers, he talks about that, and he calls it unschooling.
Right. Yeah, because it's a programmed philosophy. The agriculture, general agriculture, I mean, even, you look back to the 50s, 60s, I mean, still, like, we're so caught in those same paradigms, those same ideologies. And, now it's, I mean, even with organic, USDA organic certification coming out, and, you know, Oregon Tilth and all these, you know, these ideologies of how to, you know, practice more sustainably and more efficiently and more mindfully, you know, when it comes to our food cultivation is huge. So that, I think, has been one of the keys to the revolution of, you know, advancing that education and understanding mm-hmm. and causing people to go question what they're seeing. Because like you said, you taste this food that's conventionally grown and you compare it to and you taste it to, you know, same varietal and you mm-hmm. taste an organic one.
It's different.
I remember growing up.
They're different. Yeah. You know, like those heirloom tomatoes, they're less appealing because we're trained to see this perfect symmetrical little
sure.
sphere.
Right.
And you see this tomato and it's like, I'm a tomato. You know what I mean? Each one's different.
Right.
And that's what I want though. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to eat the same tomato every time I eat a tomato.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and the richness of flavors. I mean, the diversity of how many different varietals there are. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, there's more than a dozen. I mean,
so many
that's things. Just like, that's just what you can find at like
you
a market,
grow
right?
An entire garden with only tomatoes.
Thousands of
and
varietals,
you could
right?
Eat a different, like you could eat a different one every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some of them taste like pure sugar cane. Like,
right.
My daughter calls them nature candy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
She sees a tomato and she's like, nature candy. I'm
that's
like, that's
awesome.
Rad.
Yeah.
Nature candy.
And that's crucial to kids. You know, I have two kids as well, you know, 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old. And, you know, it's so important to like
get them
in early.
The dirt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, my son loves to pick blueberries. You know, So we have blueberry shrubs and he goes and he'll pick them and it's like, got to teach him not, you know, to wait till they're ripe because he's all about it. And so
yeah,
you know, it's amazing.
That's important.
You know,
patience for sure.
Right. So it teaches all these different philosophies as well of how to relate to life. And so, you know, as a person, he's
without drilling it into your head,
right.
Like, hey, this is a scenario, kid. When this happens, you do this. I think that's how we get programmed.
Yeah, that's
like,
exactly
okay,
it. Exactly.
So you go out in the world. This is fun. Okay. This is your homework for the weekend. People, everybody. So you go out into the world, right? And you go do that people thing. We go to the store and you go, hi, how are you? And they go,
hi, how are you? I'm great.
Yeah, and half the time they don't even answer how they are.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you're like, well, I'm actually cute. And then you do. You go, like, no, really, like, how are you? Like,
yeah.
What's going on in your world? And they go, they
freeze.
Look at you like you're crazy because you ask them something out of, like, it's a script.
You're actually engaging them,
how
right?
How in the hell did we all learn this script? Well, because we're so disconnected, and I've said it a lot of times, but it's cool that other people agree with me.
Yeah.
Now.
Right.
Kidding.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, like that's been the reality of people like you and I who are like, hey guys, there's this other thing we could try.
Right.
It's just hard to get the momentum behind you.
Sure.
And I'm really proud of you guys. Like, I've been following what you guys are doing, and it's super inspiring. And I hope that this show on Friday nights inspires people to look at the news or compare it to the news and go, wow, there's a lot of horrible things going on in the world.
Sure.
But I'm a person and I can make a change.
Right.
Like, it's true.
Right.
People hear that a lot, but look at, you're a people.
Right.
And you're doing something out of the ordinary.
Right. Totally.
And you brought together all these other people and you guys are making this massive communal event.
Exactly.
And I'm
which is free. You
it's,
know,
that's
it's free.
What I was
that's like the crucial
it's
part.
Free.
It's knowledge. I mean, I got my bachelor's degree from Oregon State. I got my associate, and I was in natural resources and fish and wildlife conservation. And my associate's degree is in agriculture, which I got from Yuba College. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was, it took me some time, you know, it took me a lot of work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, so to be here as a San Diego native, helping to facilitate for this event and this community, it's so powerful for me. I feel like it's a calling of mine and it's a purpose. And, you know, so to be a key role in this event has inspired me as well to share the knowledge I have and continue to pursue these passions, which, like you said, when you can pull your own fruits or foods from trees right outside of your front door, I mean, you know, it's such a whole different feeling, right? I mean,
okay.
The relationship changes.
I used to have a J-O-B, that thing that you wake up
right.
every day and you're like, what am I going to wear so I can impress people, so I can sell them things?
Right.
So dumb. I can't do that people thing. And then, so you go and do that job and all day you're like this in the back of your mind. You're like, this sucks. And I found myself, and I used to talk about this, found myself like in the morning going out in the garden
yeah.
before I put on the monkey suit, and I would lose hours. Like
right.
I'd be 3 hours late to work and the doctor would be like, seriously, you're there are 40 messages for you, blah 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 blah. Here's 5,000 vials,
right?
And then I'd be like, dude, do you even know what time is not?
Right.
Like, just to have that sense of I'm a being, and I'm out here doing things in the earth. And
Totally.
I'm not concerned what time it
Well,
is
that's
or where
natural
I'm,
time.
but that's wonderful.
Yeah,
And like
absolutely.
you just that feeling, I don't think people get that.
Well, I mean, well, that's kind
Like
of where the Gregorian calendar, you know, as a time scale, it is tuned and designed around taxation. I mean, you look at
it
Monday
is
through
when
Friday
yeah
is your
when you
work day, and
when
then
you
you have your
study the history of
weekend,
that calendar,
you
it's very
know. And then
interesting.
you look at the 13 moon calendars, the natural calendars, which, you
Yeah, I
know,
wanted to talk. I'm glad you're bringing it up because the
yeah.
equinox is important to us as beings. And I
Yeah.
know you have a lot of training. Your bio, we need to go through that thing. We can spend 20
Yeah,
minutes on,
totally.
but I'm sorry, I'm excited. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we talk about natural time, you know, it's like my background in it is studying it through the Mayan astrology, through the dream spell. So this philosophy is keeps you on a 13-day interval. It's they call it the human holon. So we relate to it as 20 fingers, 20 digits and toes, right? 20 fingers and toes. So multiplied by the 13, which is the major joint in our body, right? So 13 times 20 is 260, which is our natural gestation as humans, right?
Wow.
So, and this is they
Okay.
call the Zolk'in, and
This is the
this
you're
is
talking about
the Mayan dream spell. Yeah.
Mayan
So
dream spell.
the Zolk'in calendar is I call it the human calendar because it directly comes from us. You know, 20 digits, 13 joints, 260 gestation period. You know, so we have 20 different archetypes, characters. You know, each one is represented
Is
on the
this like,
fingers
is
and
this kind of
toes.
like the young, you're talking about archetypes, like,
Well, it's like each one has a representation. So, for
okay.
example, my character is the moon, which represents purify universal water and flow. And my character falls on the wave spell of the wind, which the wind represents communication, breath, and spirit. Now, my character on that 13-day wind wave spell is on the eighth day, which is galactic. And the galactic character represents harmonizing energy from past to present. So my whole purpose is purifying universal water and flowing to be able to bring past to present and communicate that ideology of spirit, right? So I look at it as, you know, I look at all these ancient traditions and I take them in and absorb them and then I discern and interpret so that others are more easily able to relate to them so they can use that knowledge and take it out to their own community or their life and utilize it. So.
So what you're talking about is it's very interesting. Like what basically what you just said, I'm going to translate for
Sure.
you
Yeah.
because I don't think everyone else understood you. I did. You basically you feel like your understanding of your experience has brought you to this moment, which is awesome because I feel that way too in my own experience. Like there are no accidents. We're all on
Right.
our own personal mission. And we get so, I love that we're being philosophical on this waxing moon,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
And I was
Absolutely.
looking
Yeah,
at the
yeah.
numbers because I'm really like, I pay attention to everything
Yeah.
too much. So I was like, today I was like, oh, 311, those are good numbers. Oh, and the moon's maxing. So I was being all philosophical, but those
Yeah.
things mean certain things to me,
Absolutely.
right? Everything has a certain meaning to you. And I think as beings, we get caught up in that script I was kind of
Right,
talking
that
about
time
earlier.
scale, yeah.
Yeah, it's a paradigm. Paradigm's a lovely word. Like I really, and I've been talking about this for a few years, and I feel like humans are that we're watching an evolution. It's happening.
Right.
We are evolving every moment, every day, but we forget it
Right.
because we lost that connection. We don't plant the seed. We don't nurture the seed. We
Sure.
don't grow the seed. We don't eat that. That's energy. What you put in there, you can literally
Absolutely.
put in here. So I'm glad that your experience has brought you to share what you have so that other people can utilize it if they so wish.
Yeah,
Because
absolutely.
like that's what's going to happen. Like whoever's listening to this or whoever attends your event,
Right.
they're going to get exactly what they need
Absolutely.
every
Well, and it's
time.
so malleable because, you know, we set it up so that all of our keynote speakers are at different times. So you'll see
Okay,
all of them. You know,
kudos.
it took me a lot of
Okay.
time to do the logistics, but that's one of my arts as well as arrangement.
I'm just
So
going to clap right now
thank you.
because heirloom seed swap, like I was most of the time I was there, I'm like computing, how can I make it in
Right.
five places at once? And I spent a lot of the times talking to the organizers, like, okay, we need simultaneous broadcasting.
Right,
I
right, right.
was like, next year, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of being there and having all, it's like having the internet, but with no browser.
Sure.
It's like, okay, I've got the ability to have
Right.
knowledge, but I can't
I can't
do,
reach
I
it. Yeah.
can't, exactly, I can't touch it.
Yeah, so that was an art. That was a dance, you
That is
know.
an art
And
and a dance. So how many hours is your event?
so the event starts at 11 and it runs until 7 p.m.
So
So
it's
it's
long. It's like a
long.
day thing.
Yeah,
Okay, I'll
so
be there.
our lectures are going to be running from 11 until 3, 11:30. So
11:30
yeah,
to
so we're
3.
having check-in at 10:30 because we, you know, people are going to bring seed. We want them to bring seed, and we have envelopes, so we want to package it up, and
I'm
you
gonna
know.
bring so many
Yeah, bring some
seeds.
seed, check in early, and you know, everyone that brings seed is going to be able to take home more seed, you know, versus the people that don't bring anything, they're still going to get some seed. They're not going to get as much though as those who are also contributing to the event in that, you
That makes
know.
sense.
So, you know,
Okay.
we want to honor everybody and what they're contributing, both the participants as well as the exhibitors and the, you know, the different lecturers and such. So, you know, we set it up to make sure that everybody is going to get their space. So, you know, the garden is going to be running. We have workshops from 11:30 until 2:30, 11:30 till 2. We have workshops in the garden, and then we have two different staging areas. We have an outdoor staging area. It's going to be behind World Beat Center. It's going to be our Sunshine Village, and you know, that's we're going to have kids and family
I was gonna
area.
say, super kid
Super
friendly.
kid
Lots
friendly.
of kid
Yeah,
activities.
bring a lunch
Oh,
and a
okay.
blanket and
I'm really quick and just remembered there's a kid activity that requires toilet paper rolls.
Yes,
Like if
it's
but we still
paper
have
towel rolls,
time.
paper
Paper
towel
towels.
rolls.
If you
Yep.
guys can save them, like if you go on Facebook, her name is Stephanie
Stephanie. Yep.
McCoy or the Tiny Farmer. She needs those
Yeah,
rolls.
paper towel rolls. We
So
could
I had to
yeah.
remember to say that.
Yeah, we want to we basically she's going to chop them up and make them into little planters, and the kids are going to get their hands dirty and
That's
have
my
fun.
secret. That's how I plant all my, like,
Yeah.
people come to my house, like, why do you have 5,000? I'm like, I'm saving for spring.
Yeah, you know, natural
They're
composting, you know, it's
perfect.
perfect. Yeah,
But
absolutely.
Stephanie McCoy needs yours for next week.
Yeah.
Wait, it's all, we do tell them the date. It's the
Yeah, March
20th.
20th. Yeah, you know, we you know when when Dale and I talked about this, we said, you know, when do we do it? Do we do it in October? Or do we do it in springtime? You know, I was like, well, you know, again, because I follow the natural calendar, I'm like, well, what other date than the beginning of spring? We need
Talk about
to.
that, like in your experience, like why is that important?
Yeah, so, you know, historically, it's our celebration times. You know, the equinoxes and solstices, it's when we come together and we focus ourselves on whatever particular agricultural time we're in. You know, so obviously, springtime is the new cultivation and planting of seeds. And you know, we look at like the autumnal equinox, which is our harvest time, right? And you know, and then you look at the winter solstice, which is you know the time in which we're packing in, right, for the winter. So it's you know preparing for that shift. And then you look at the summer solstice, and that's
It's
like
cyclical,
you know
everything's
it's
cyclical.
cyclical, and that's our
Yeah.
peak time, right? That's the most sunlight. So you know there's a lot of fruits being harvested at that time. There's a lot of plants that are going into flower because of that. You know, so it has to do with the photo times, you know, how much sunlight there is,
Exactly.
right?
So people can
So,
go home though and actually take what you give them and use it. So
absolutely.
it's not gonna just go in a drawer and, oh, I'm gonna forget about it.
Right.
I'll
You
do it
know,
later.
yeah, we're
No,
trying
do
to
it
get
now.
hands-on.
You
Yeah.
have this knowledge, go dig a hole, go put some stuff in
Right.
there. Pour some warm compost tea on it,
Right.
whatever. Throw
Yeah.
leaves on
Exactly. And you
it.
know, and we have a we have been have a bunch of great donors and sponsors, so we have
Okay.
tons of product that we're going to be raffling off,
I
you
love
know.
Leslie Goldman.
Leslie's great. Yeah, he's doing our opening and closing ceremony for us. So that one, I think he wants to start like 10:45, 10, or 10:45, 11 o'clock. He wants to get rolling. We're gonna, you know, do a nice organized ceremony and set
Kind of
the
set the
intention.
tone, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's he does that the same thing at the Heirloom Festival. It's Leslie Cho Leslie Goldman is enchanted. He's the enchanted gardener, and he's been on my show a lot. And we followed him going up to the
Yeah.
festival. His whole thing is you can grow a garden in pots.
Yeah.
You totally
Well, that's
can.
my lectures. I'm talking about container
You
gardens.
are?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
So,
amazing.
I mean to just give you an example, I have a 2-year-old passion vine. I got it's in a 5-gallon ceramic pot, and I yielded 5 pounds of passion fruits last year on
What?
my second year. You know, so I mean
Wow.
it's growing up a full staircase. I
Why is
live in
that
an
in okay,
apartment.
why is that important? Okay, that's impressive, first of all. Yeah. But for people who aren't gardeners, why is it impressive that it's 2 years old and it's in that size?
Well, I mean, it's
Like for people who don't get
so
it.
for example, I mean, I only have maybe 200 square feet of space to utilize, and which is awesome at an apartment. You know, it's underneath a staircase. You know, so this staircase, I mean, it was just basically bare dirt. It had, you know, some like small hedges there, but not, you know, not anything really noteworthy. And for me to put a you know, a vine into this into this pot and then put it into the ground and have it sitting there for now 2 years and, you know, just nurturing it and have it turn into this extremely strong, full of life, vibrant creature.
It's alive.
It's totally alive. You know, it's already flowering.
I call them plant babies. Like, yeah. They're little lives, dude.
Absolutely. And to honor it and nurture it. And
Derek Bros wrote a book called The Conscious Resistance, Reflections on Spirituality and Anarchy. Woo! That's the title.
Yeah.
But there's this part in it that I'm always playing my mind because I think people don't get me. Like, when I had to translate you, like, yeah. You experience life on another realm.
Sure.
Like, he talks about how the Native Americans have different, or not the Native Americans, the Hawaiians, sorry, people.
Yeah. My Hawaiians.
They have some beautiful perspectives on
absolutely.
Lives.
And Ohana, the Aina, and how much they nurture it, you know?
There's different levels of perception.
Absolutely.
Right? And your connectedness determines how you see, like, for example, like, someone could look at a tree and they're like, there's a tree. Someone else could look at a tree and go, I am that tree.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just depends on your level of connectivity.
Absolutely.
It. So the fact that you're like nurturing this thing for 2 years in an apartment under a staircase.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's so
much
fun.
What do you
put
in that pot? Like, what kind of stuff goes in that soil?
Well, so I mean, I prep my soil mix, which I get most of my products from City Farmers Nursery. You know, I like to shop local. You know, I like to support local agriculture and, you know, so I go over there and I get a bag of topsoil and a bag of their compost and I get some organic fertilizer and I take that home and I mix it up in a nice little blend and I load that up in the pot, in the container and I plant my plant.
It's not that difficult.
It's really simple, you know, and it's just knowing what kind of plant you have. So fruit and flower fertilizer, I believe, mm-hmm. you know, that targets anything that's going to produce fruit and flowers for you.
There
you know,
go.
Or like an acid-loving fertilizer, which is for, you know, rhododendrons or gardenias, but also is perfect for blueberries because blueberries are acid-loving plants.
So that'd work for elderberries as
right.
well.
Absolutely. So, you know, I have three blueberries. I mean, I yielded a few pounds of blueberries, you know, and that's, you know, again, containers. I mean, all of my plants are in containers because I live in an apartment building. Uh-huh. I'm going to take those plants with me. I'm not
exactly.
going to plant them there. I want to take them with me. So
I have that problem now where I planted some plants in the ground, and now I'm thinking, like, what if I ever move?
You
this know, is going to be a problem.
You're going to have to dig them up,
I'm
and it's going
to
take a little work.
A lot
and
of things.
Yeah.
I planted all my, you were talking about cactus. I planted all my cactus, all my aloe, like all my sacred plants,
right.
all my healers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, these are my most important ones.
Take some cuttings. You know, they reproduce fast.
And that's what I did. Like, I just started putting them in pots, and now I have like little babies everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's how, I mean, I have a pomegranate tree, and it's a, it was throwing out little suckers from the bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
so why do they? Okay, this is important. This has a point, I promise.
Yeah.
Because food is free.
Right.
It just keeps perpetuating itself. On the note of succulents, why do they make their little babies? There's probably a technical term, but they're so deep under the ground that you'd have to dig to find them. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
Their
little
new little nodules.
Sure. Yeah. You know, so.
It's kind of like a potato.
It's well, yeah. If you think about it like that, it stores energy, you know. And a lot of these plants, they're designed to be able to facilitate in extreme weather, right? They call them hardy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the hardy plants tend to have nutrient storage banks, and that is what you're referencing is
it
that ability
super,
to store
it
nutrients.
Looks super like edible.
Absolutely.
Like,
I mean, some
like,
of them might be. Yeah,
it's like an artichoke heart or like a romaine heart. You're like, ooh, that's special.
Yeah. Totally. I
so
mean, and
you can grow things like that where they like take no maintenance and that's food.
Right.
Say like the water gets contaminated.
Right.
You could go out there and you could eat so many of your succulents or, you know what I mean?
You find the right plants and facilitate for yourself, you know? And then like I was mentioning, like with this pomegranate, it's throwing out growth that isn't necessarily the best for production.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to prune that growth off anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done is now I take that and I take those branches that I trimmed and I stick them in a glass of water. And I change that water every day for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And by that time, I have roots. And then I take that cutting and I go stick it in the ground in a little container. And now I have a plant that in 3 to 5 years is ready to be fully productive again.
And you got that from one plant.
Right.
And you can take cuttings. And it's important, like 45 degrees, right?
Well, you know, that's important for like to allow the water to run
mm-hmm.
off. These ones in particular are cut right from the base of the stem. So they have there's a little bump that comes off of the, of the main branch, right? And they call that the collar.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to leave the collar intact and prune directly off that base.
Okay.
And so, you know, that branch, we want to, you know, you want to get it as close as you can for that healing purpose of the tree, you know? But what you're referencing, the 45 is like, let's say I cut something like a rose, right? I prune my rose every year. When I cut it at a 45, it allows when the rain falls in the winter, it allows the water to run off, right?
Okay.
So as if it was flat and
I
the water settled,
see. I was
it would get
wondering.
funky and
I
mold.
thought it had to do with Fibonacci sequence.
It might.
And I mean, it was like, oh, sacred G, sacred
Yeah,
G,
yeah,
sacred
yeah.
G. Mathematician
Well,
brain
I
starts
guess
going
it
up.
could in that
Think
sense
about it.
of gravity,
It's
right?
45 degrees.
You know,
Some
it's
magic in there,
yeah. I mean,
man.
that's friction. You know, friction is going to hold the water there. So at that 45-degree angle, friction combined with gravity allows it to run off. So
Well,
I
you
mean,
said
you know,
gravity. That's the magic
yeah,
word.
you know.
Let's not talk about that. Or whatever. Don't say gravity in my presence. We're not supposed to talk about it. Sorry, that's
No,
like
it's
my
all
favorite
good.
thing in the
Yeah.
world. Super relative. That's my
Absolutely.
favorite
Well, and you
joke.
know, I mean, that's the moon. The moon changes our tides, you know. So in that sense, like, you know, gravitational fields influence
Gravity
growth.
is
Yeah,
everything. I'm
absolutely.
super upset that nobody talks about gravity all day. Like, we need to have
Yeah.
gravity groups. We need to have like
Yeah.
500,000 members in them on Facebook. Like, now
Yeah.
gravity's everything,
Yeah,
dude. And we
totally.
have no idea how it works.
You
Like,
know,
we need to talk about
we're
gravity
still
more.
learning a lot. We're still
Except
learning a
we're a
lot about
super new
everything.
species. Like, we haven't figured out how to feed ourselves yet, but we're getting there.
You know, I mean, well, and that's like what's crazy is that we produce 600% of the food that we actually need for consumption, and we only get to market 50% of that. You know what I
You
mean?
know
So,
why? I know why. Because
yeah.
we spend a lot of time driving it around.
That's it. Food waste, transportation
Boom!
costs, you know, all these different aspects. And, you know, realistically speaking, I mean, we're constantly being told that, oh, we have to support genetic modification because we need to produce more food. But look, I mean, we produce six times our need. I mean, already. And
Already, we
you
throw it
know,
away.
and if you think about the negative impact from like you said, the fuel cost to the you know, the
Then that pollutes
pesticide
the
and the,
air.
you know, all these aspects of, I mean, well,
There's so many
right.
things.
You know, you take the water out of the ground or you take the water out of the lake, and now you have sediment, that fine sediment that's took, you know, thousands of years to settle in that lake, now is open to the air to be lifted airborne because it's light enough to get up. You know, and that's you know, that happened with you know, they call it Cadillac Desert. That's Los Angeles pulled the water from Mono Lake, and there's a second lake up there, and they was rescued by like 12 biologists, saved it because of all this happening, and now LA actually has to pay to put water back in that lake
It's happening a
because
lot
it's
in California,
yeah.
actually, because you know our water. We have a water shortage, obviously,
Right.
and that's happening a lot.
Absolutely.
And what would Matt Power say we need to do? We need to grow more food.
Yeah, well,
What people think
yeah.
we shouldn't be doing,
We got to modify our development, you know, because what's
exactly.
happening is, you know, we in
It's
San
got to be
Diego,
regenerative.
right?
Regenerative. I can't have trouble with that word.
Right.
Regenerative. Regenerative.
Regenerative.
Regenerative.
Yep. Yep.
That word.
Yeah.
Instead, because people talk about, oh, it's got to be sustainable. It's got to be sustainable. Wrong word.
Right.
No, it's got to regenerate.
Right.
You
Regenerative.
got to
Yep.
give back.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, in San Diego, our negative impact has been with development because we create hardscapes. You know, we used to have 26,000 acres of vernal pools, which are these seasonal pools that are only over our winter. You know, their rain comes in, you know, November, December, and the pools, by the time they're, you know, in March, April, they're already dried up. You know, so, and we have, you know, rare native species that are living and thriving in those regions. And that's all, you know, development has, you know, we built all these hardscapes, and that water now, instead of infiltrating into our soil and creating, you know, that magnetic draw for the rain to fall, what we've done is now put that water into channelizing through our storm drain system and flushing it out to the ocean via our rivers. And our rivers now are negatively impacted because the amount of water going through them has increased. So the amount of force has increased. So sedimentation and runoff increases, and the quality of our riverine systems are negatively impacted. So, you know, that is a whole trickle-down effect, and that it totally relates to
Sometimes I
water holding
literally
capacity.
can't think about it.
Well, I mean, because it's
I
in my studies,
can't
it's hard, yeah.
I can't not think about it.
Right,
Not
you can't
know,
not think
because
about
I'm
it.
on year like 6 or 7 in being in this movement of
Yeah.
food consciousness, and I lose so much sleep over it because
Sure.
it's not just me. It's not just me going to store and eating healthy for my family. It's the whole thing, the whole
Right.
planet. And people don't think about that their one little minuscule existence matters on the big scale, but it does.
Well, look at this community event, right?
That's what
I mean, each
this
individual
except
person,
it's like this
right?
whole show has a theme. It's
Absolutely.
true. I feel like you know how Like I wasn't even supposed to do this show tonight. I've been cocooning.
Yeah,
Like I've literally
totally.
been cocooning in preparation for greatness. Like you.
Right.
Like I feel like I've been on a mission and I feel
Yeah.
like it's about to happen because
Absolutely.
all the things that I imagined are becoming fruition. Like
Reality,
I
right?
never imagined 3 years ago when I found Baker Creek Heirloom Catalog, I studied it like my Bible.
Right, yeah.
And I carried it around in my bag. And anytime I
Yeah.
meet someone who liked food, I'm like, look at this.
Check out this diversity, yeah.
And you know what happened? Like 2 years later, I met that guy.
Yeah,
you
Jerry,
know what I mean?
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I met his family. I'm like,
Yeah,
whoa,
that's awesome.
I'm at your seed bank. It's just, it's beautiful how everything just.
So interconnected. I mean, it's such a
Exactly.
small world. I mean, you know, to like you said, to reach out and see something and then 2 years later see all of those
All the
same
people
things
you
coming
know. It's
together.
no, seriously, like all these keynote speakers, we've all connected in some way. You know what I mean? It's just, it's
Yeah.
beautiful. Like when you're on your mission and you're doing your thing, they call it synchronicity.
Yeah.
Like when everything is like,
Yeah, all
you're like,
this,
huh,
yeah.
that's lining up. Huh, that's lining up. Huh,
Absolutely.
that's lining up. It's because you're doing it
And
right.
that's magic. You
That's,
know,
it's his magic.
that's the beauty of life. When you know you're in the right place, you have synchronicities. And
True.
that's, you know, that's something that I always am looking out for. You know, it's just like this. Like when Dale talked to me about it, I was like, oh, well, the synchronicity point is March 20th, the equinox, you know? And the reason being is because everyone is going to be shifting into that state of, I don't want to be hermiting anymore. You
Yeah,
know,
your
I want to
cocooning is
be
over.
out. I want to
Yeah.
go get outside. I mean, look, we're in San Diego. We're already getting out of winter. I mean, it's already weather is already. Yeah,
Winter.
right. That fourth season that we don't
What
have.
is a
Yeah.
winter?
So
It's when it rains for like 12 hours, right?
right. You know, we get a
The
whole half inch of
sun
rain.
comes back out.
Yeah.
Free car wash. Free car wash happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I was glad I didn't have to water my plants this morning.
Oh
You know, I
my
was like, "Oh,
gosh.
I gotta water my plants." Oh, great! Yeah, it's raining
It's the
today.
best thing when we
Yeah,
get rain because I collect so much of it.
yeah. Well, we're gonna have a gray water workshop.
Ooh, tell
Yeah,
me about it.
H2 Ohm is coming out. They're gonna be
That's
talking
right.
about
That's
rainwater
super. That's super
collection.
clever.
Yeah,
I like it.
they're awesome. Brooke, yeah, Brooke. I just talked with Brooke
What
this
is
week
gray
and.
water? People don't know about
Yeah,
that.
so you know, it's big in Hawaii. So you know, you mentioned Hawaii. Gray water basically is anything that's falling off your roof or that you're utilizing in your home that is secondary use. So like from your dishwasher or from your sink, and you know, if you use the right chemicals, like you know, you use the right organic soaps, then you can take that water and you can utilize it in your garden. Obviously, it's not potable drinking water, but it's something that you can put out. For your plants, and you know they love it, and it's a secondary use for your water. You know, rainwater harvesting is crucial, especially in, like you said, in a place where we get very minimal rainfall. You know, our precipitation is what, like less than 10 inches a year, right? And so,
Super minimal.
you
I
know,
don't know the exact
but you
number.
think about the square footage of roofs, like housing roofs, right? And you think about that, and you start to look at the amount of water that hits that. You know, let's
I
say
can't
like
think
a,
about
you know,
it because then
it's
I want to
so
run
much.
around all night in the
Well.
rain and collect
It's so
everything's
much, but you
rainwater.
know what's amazing is that,
Screw sleep. There's water to collect.
yeah,
I could do
and
it. I could
you can
do
do it in
it.
your sleep. Well, and that's like what's amazing is I'm putting together a community resource guide. I mean, it's the largest compendium of San Diego
Ooh, wait, say that word
agricultural
again.
compendium.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a huge, I got like 12 or 14 pages worth of hyperlinks to all these different organizations that you guys need to learn about. And
On
you know,
it.
one of them in particular is the rebates. And right now there's rain barrel rebates, you
Gosh.
know?
Yes, there's so many. The government wants to throw money at you for being more conscious.
Right,
It's like they
absolutely.
care
And that's
sometimes.
huge for
What
me
is
because there's those right
that?
organizations. You know, the government has
There's money sitting there
right.
for people who want to do
Yeah.
things.
And there's those
It's just
departments that are
waiting.
facilitating for it. You know, I'm in the process of getting involved with the county's Ag Weights and Measures Department. It's something that for me, with my background, I want to be in San Diego and I want to facilitate in a positive way. So I'm working on getting myself in a position where I'm going to be part of that representation of government because it's important to have our community there and recognize that these are people that live with us. They're our neighbors and our neighbors care and they're educating themselves, you know? And those that are really reaching out, they're trying to facilitate for us to be able to expand and as a community be able to continue to thrive. You know, so these rebates, you know, we need to take advantage of them because that's limited resources,
we
limited
could do
time.
A whole show on teach. Can we? Can
yeah,
we
totally.
Do a whole show on teaching people how to take advantage of rebates that are just sitting there?
Absolutely.
We could do that. That's happening eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and this compendium that I've made, it's got everything important related to any rebates that you can get within not only the city of San Diego and the county of San Diego, but Southern California. You know, SoCal Water Smart is the Southern California. You know, they're really the water district of Southern California. You know, and related to, you know, turf removal. You know, that program is funded, and in a month it's gone.
Yes,
it's so fast. The money, because people want to shift.
Well, they give you like, okay, I have a personal experience where my girlfriend, okay. Like a 10 by 10 was
right.
Her yard. She lived in Del Mar or something like that.
Yeah.
North of the 8, let's just say. And she got a check for $8,500 for putting in false grass.
Wow.
In a 10 by 10. Because she was in the right area and she talked to the right people at the right
yeah.
time. They're like, oh, you're going to save water? Have all this money.
Yeah.
Imagine what she could do if she was organizing a seed swap.
Right.
With that money.
Right.
Seriously, that's so
Absolutely.
Much money for
yeah.
a gardener.
I mean, we're asking for very little. I mean, we're, you know, as a grassroots organization, I mean, yeah, we're asking $2,500 to facilitate
yeah.
this event. I mean,
you
that's
nothing. You guys have a
nothing.
GoFundMe. We haven't
yep.
said a word about it.
Yeah.
But it's super important that you guys go check it out.
Yeah. It's GoFundMe.com/SD Seed Swap. Yeah. Check it out.
I love that. Okay. First of all, kudos again.
Thank
it's like you.
You
guys really put a lot of thought into this. Because when you go to that GoFundMe, normally, you know, you're kind of guarded when you go to a
totally.
GoFundMe.
Totally. You're like, hey,
like,
give me some money.
You want my money, but all my guards are up.
Right.
You have to convince me. I have
yeah.
to feel it in my heart that you need it.
Right.
But you guys are super genuine. You have an entire detailed list of what every penny will
yeah,
be
all of
delegated.
Our costs.
Yeah, the cost, boom, right there. I want to throw all my money at it.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
I don't have all my money
yeah.
to throw at you right now, sadly.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's coming. You know, this is the beginning. This is the beginning
I'm
of
just,
a long relationship.
It's a beautiful thing. Oh, he likes me, guys.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a
blushing.
Beautiful world,
I'm
you know?
Now, show's over. Yeah, we're done. And we're done. No, I'm just kidding. But I literally did learn that.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, you know, we want to put on quarterly events. Like we said, we want to be in cycle with the natural time, you know, so every equinox and solstice, we're going to have a new theme. So the theme
so you're
for the,
keep your momentum.
You're going to keep the momentum. So this, you know, this $2,500 is not just for this event. It's for the long term. You know, it's getting us, it's helping develop that you know, continuity of this program. And, you know, again, we have so many supporters of different organizations in
okay.
San Diego.
Yes.
You know, we got the rare, you know, California Rare Fruit Growers behind us.
The World Beet Center. Ms.
World
Makeda,
Beet Center, Makeda Dredd. Yeah.
Makeda's you know. The mama of San Diego.
Yeah.
She really is.
And she, you know, the Children's Garden, the Ethnobotanical Children's Garden that she's organized, you know, it's amazing. You know, she's doing a birding exhibit. She's connected with Cornell Lab of Ornithology, which I
don't
know
that.
Yeah, this is like the top ornithology lab in the country. I mean, they are amazing on what they're working on. So
she's also a permaculture student.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh yeah, she loves her gardening. You know.
Yeah, she does.
So yeah, so it's amazing to be working with that garden. You know, because it's you know, it's teaching our children. It's our future generation. So you know, I'm happy to be able to participate and to be able to be honored and given that space. So.
It's very sacred space.
Absolutely.
And you guys are going to be between the World Beet Center and the cultural center.
Yeah, we have both
right?
sites. So we're during the day we're going to be in the children's garden doing our workshops. We're going to be behind and around the World Beet Center, like from basically stemming from the parking lot behind the building all the way towards the grass area.
Where the tall trees are.
Exactly, those eucalyptus
okay.
trees
I
that shouldn't
trees.
Be there.
No, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
they're
tall and beautiful shade structures.
They're
yeah.
I sit there. I've sat on those
yeah.
trees. Probably,
it's such a nice spot. Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
As much as I've sat on the cliffs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah,
not
totally.
Not important, but it's super important.
Yeah, and then we're connecting over to the Cultura de la Raza where... we're going to have the whole inside as well as the parking lot there. So
music, right?
Yeah, live music all day. So it's set up to where the music, we have two stages. So two stages, the Sunshine Stage, which is our outdoor stage, and the Cultura Stage, the Centro Stage, is in Centro de Cultura de la Raza. And the music will be alternating back and forth. So, and you know, it's set to where you know, lectures are alternating back and forth between those two stages. And if there's a lecture at one, there's music at the other, and then they switch so that, you know, if you're like, hey, I've learned so much, my brain's overloaded, I need to go listen to some music and chill out in the grass for a minute, you got that space, you know. So we, you know, we've facilitated it so everyone gets an opportunity to enjoy and, you know, take their own initiative to be where they want to be. So
you guys should live stream it.
That would be amazing. Yeah, let's facilitate it. Let's do it.
Seriously?
I'm going to be GoProing a lot of it. So we're going to be, you know, recording a lot of it. That would be great. Yeah, let's talk more.
I just got a new stabilizer.
Cool.
So you guys don't have to watch me wobble around.
That sounds great.
Seriously, though, we could bring the people there. So that would be awesome. Yeah. If you're not in San Diego, you could see what's going on.
Yeah, because we do have a greater community outside of San Diego coming to help facilitate this. One organization I want to throw out there is Seed Library of Los Angeles. These guys are sending down some representatives. They're we went up to their meeting last month, and they have shown so much support for our organization, and they want to help us facilitate for a Seed Library of San Diego. So this is in the works. This is what this organization is working towards. This event is the beginning of that. And so we're looking long term. You know, we want to be able to
you're planting seeds.
We want to plant seeds. So we're working on the 501c3 for ourselves, and we're working That's to great. Be able to serve underprivileged communities. We want to, you know, Smart Pots donated tons of pots. So it's like $500 worth of product to us, you know, and we want to be able to take that Smart Pot and take our, you know, fresh made compost and soil and put that in there, give a packet of seeds with it, and go put that in a site where the kids are going to see it, where the students and the families are going to see it, the community is going to see it. And, you know, they're going to say, well, what is that about? Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in El Cajon, and I, you know.
Oh, it's a box.
It's a box, you know.
It's a little town trapped inside of mountains.
Yeah, but it's an ag community. So it's so fascinating to see how it's transitioned.
It is now?
It gets dry. Well, it's been an ag community traditionally, and it's transitioned to be that suburban area. You know, so
there used to be so many groves in this area.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's amazing, though, like, you know, that community, that's, you know, in some sense, it's an underserved, underprivileged community, because there's, you know, I talk to my Spanish teacher and she lives in the same block as my family. And I was telling her I'm getting my degree in agriculture. And she's like, well, if you ever want to come and do a workshop or something, my kids need to see that. Because she's like, you know, we planted some carrots and we pulled a carrot out of the ground. And the kids were just like, what is that? What is going on? And they're like, we thought carrots were from the store. And you know, so it's like this whole, like you said, that this lack of education about agriculture and natural resources as a whole. I mean, it's amazing. And like I said, as such a like agriculturally rich community, you would think that that would be like a natural go-to for our education system, especially for the kids. So to see more and more, or, you know, schools getting towards that direction, you know, the children's gardens and those, it's huge. It's amazing.
There's a community garden. It's funny that you mentioned El Cajon, that I'm trying to become involved in, and they have huge spaces, like 10 by 10.
That's great. That's huge. 100 square feet is a lot of room.
And it includes water, and it's only like $100 a year.
That's amazing. amazing.
That's the steal of the century. Yeah. I'm going to buy all of them.
Right?
But I'm just saying, like, that's in one tiny little part of San Diego.
Right.
And you mentioned how many people, it's happening.
Well, you know,
it
happened. San Diego Community Garden Network. You know, Walt Sanford, you know, Walt's a great guy. I'm glad that he and I got to connect. And, you know, that program is huge. So, you know, there's ways to connect. And, you know, so another thing, like underprivileged community, like food stamps, you know, people don't always know they can buy seed with food stamps. You know,
I don't think people do.
A lot of people don't know. You can go use your food stamps and buy seed. I actually bought some from Seeds of Change from Sprouts, you know, organic Seeds of Change, you know, specialty seed. And that's, you know, that's huge. A lot of people don't realize
that. You could buy a $2 packet of seeds and grow melons forever.
Right. You know, so, and that's why seed swapping or seed exchange is so important, because, you know, when we cultivate our own seed, and we have that as a resource. Have a value. That's money in your pocket. Absolutely.
That's better than money.
Absolutely. And now as a facilitation.
I love that you said that. Because I don't care about Federal Reserve notes. Like, I use them, but it's not my favorite.
Right.
Like, if people only knew how rich I was, like, I'm like, if they only knew how vast my seed bank was.
Right.
Because to me, it literally is infinite.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have food.
It's perpetual.
Forever. And my children have food forever. And their children have food forever.
Right.
And isn't that what our whole goal is to nurture and reproduce just like a plant?
Absolutely.
And to, that's so beautiful to have that understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, foresight. I mean, when it comes to natural resources, it's so important that we relate to the value rather than the monetary denomination, because value is not inherently understood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, value is in the exchange. So to you, something is of value because you have an awareness about it. The next person, they may have no awareness. So to them, it has no value. Mm-hmm. So that's why education is so important.
Exactly. If people understand, exactly. If they understand the value of that seed, they would want it too.
Yeah,
and they'd
absolutely
want to share it with their friends.
Well, and that's where we are. You know, this event, it came out of that whole that philosophy, because all these different people that are involved in this organization, they are already doing it, and we are already preaching to the choir. You know what I mean?
It's so, like, hey guys, we're all talking to each other.
Yeah,
let's teach other people now.
Exactly. So that's crucial. The outreach now. This event is it's designed. It's free because we want everyone to have the knowledge, and we want people to realize the vast availability of the resources just within our community. Right. You know, so, you know, we've got so many different supporters. You know, let me just, like, our seed supporters got all good things, organic seeds, Annie heirloom seeds, Baker Creek heirloom seeds,
woo!
Barrio Seed Bank, Bountiful Gardens, you know, the Rare Fruit Growers I mentioned.
Cacao Fest.
Yeah. Cacao Fest is a supporter, Girl in a Garden, Girl Next Door Honey. She's doing a workshop, you know, we're going to live honeybee intro to honeybee workshop.
I will be filming.
Yeah.
That.
Crucial. And she's, you know, she's a self-learned and, you know, has been doing this for some years and, manages, I want to say she managed like over 60 different hives within the
That's
community.
That's impressive.
You know?
These are no joke.
No, it takes
them,
a practice.
We
yeah.
can't do any of this.
Pollination is crucial.
It's
yeah.
Perfect.
You know, crucial for us.
Plant
you know.
Sex needs to happen.
Right. And, you know, as the wind can't do it all for us, you know.
But no, yeah. I mean, it tries really hard.
It does,
but
yeah.
Bees, but that's wonderful.
Yeah, so crucial. And then, let's see, what else we got? Green Places, H2OM, Urban Acupuncture and Wellness, Hill Tribe Hemp, Lazy Hummingbird.
Yay, Hill Tribe Hemp!
Yeah, Huerta del Valle, they're doing the Nopales Workshop.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, Pila, Renee's Garden Seeds, another seeds, they donated some seeds to us. Seed Library Ballet.
Wait.
Yeah.
How come I didn't think about this? I'm mad, but super excited. I'm gonna say Sexy Food. That's a business.
Yeah. Yeah. They
want to know everything about it.
Yeah, you know, I actually just got a message from Dale about them. I guess he talked to them early. I don't really actually know what they
well,
do.
It's intriguing,
but I'm intrigued.
If you're doing food right, it is very sexy.
Yeah, you know, and I worked as a chef, so,
so
you know, to me, like
you
yeah, food is totally
food.
A sexy
like,
art.
Food porn is a thing. Like yeah. people watch other kind, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Show me the saute.
Yeah, I wanna see those heirlooms, I wanna see that local grown, you
Let
know.
Me see
yeah.
the chef or not. Go.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and so see St. Vincent de Paul Urban Farm, Tiny Farmer San Diego.
Oh, she's awesome.
Turtle Tree Biodynamic Seed Initiative. I got to talk about these guys. These guys do the you know, naturally pollinated, wind pollinated seed production. You know,
what?
So these guys biodynamic farming is like the ultimate in organic farming. It's like you know, do you know Masanobu Fukuoka? One straw revolution. He's you know, he's the late Masanobu Fukuoka. He's to me, he's one of the fathers of permaculture. He prefecture in Japan. He's cultivating rice and he has a orange grove. You know, 15 acres of oranges. And you know, traditionally rice is cultivated in wet fields, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's cultivating dry cultivation.
What?
Hand seeded. Okay, so this just walking around throwing seed
Are
out.
There videos of this?
Books. You know, so like, I mean, he, you know, he puts the seed in clay pellets and then throws them out there.
Like seed bombs,
right? Because then, you know, you don't lose so many seeds to
so
the birds and the creatures,
that's
right?
A problem.
And then he times it around the monsoon seasons, right? So all of a sudden, throws out the seed, boom, water comes in, they start breaking down, and then all of a sudden his rice fields grow. And he walks around and does his does natural weeding with a scythe. So he takes the scythe and just chops the weeds right there, and they just lay there organically and decompose and provide nutrients. He's like top production in Japan. Like his prefecture, you know, he's producing, you know, 2,000 to 2,200 pounds per hectare of like, you know,
wow.
per rice production. I mean, vast amounts. That's literally, I mean, the closest people to him are like 1,900, 1,800. Like, he's producing a significant amount of food with very little input. You know, and that's, I think, the whole philosophy behind permaculture.
Exactly.
Is to reduce your input and increase your output.
And you don't, and you're maximizing your life.
Absolutely.
You have the best food. You don't have to have a job, that thing we talked about earlier.
Right.
Don't do it. Do what you love instead.
Absolutely.
Do what you want to do. Oh, I could talk about that for 10 years.
Absolutely.
Because then you're going to be your happiest, and that you don't have to worry about food. You don't have, you know, you have a surplus of food.
Exactly.
You don't have to spend all day growing food. Then what are you going to do? You're going to do that thing you want to do.
You're
going to
enjoy your hobbies, and you're going to enjoy your family.
Yeah,
and
you're going to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's always been my intention, is to empower people towards optimal wellness and
regenerative agriculture. Yeah.
Regenerative agriculture. Sorry, I can't say that word. I don't care. I can say lots of others.
Absolutely.
But it's such a beautiful notion, and I hope that we taught people about the fact that they're part of the earth.
Yeah.
They're not just wandering upon it. And I hope that they really go to your heirloom seed swap. If not personally, go online and donate some of your life force. You know, you trade your life for dollars. These people could use your life force, and they could use it to teach other people about how to make theirs more ideal so that you can live in a better world. Because we really are all connected.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that all of the people I know all the people you know.
Yeah.
So that we could have this conversation.
Yeah.
Because it was really awesome and inspiring. I personally am done cocooning, and I'm ready to plant so many seeds.
Yeah, it's bloom time.
It's super bloom time. So I hope to see, like, everybody, the whole city, and everyone you know. Yo, here we go through the stereo.